This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Members of the House Finance Committee have approved their own version of a revenue bill that has very little in common with the bill approved in the Senate earlier this week and backed by Governor Jim Justice. Ashton Maher reports the committee approved the House bill yesterday afternoon, and it could be put to a final vote in the chamber today.
Members of the House Finance Committee voted almost unanimously in favor of their version of a revenue bill, one that looks drastically different from the one the Senate approved earlier this week. The measure was the result of negotiations between Republicans and Democrats in the chamber and is very similar to revenue measures delegates consider during the regular session, focused on making changes to the sales tax rather than the income tax.
The support was not there.
That's House Finance Chair Eric Nelson, who says that's why his committee's version of the bill does not include a phase out of the personal income tax like Senate Republicans and the governor have supported. It does, however, include some income tax changes, exempting military retirement pay immediately and phasing in an exemption for Social Security benefits over 3 years for seniors making less than $100,000 a year. Senate Democrats floated a similar idea earlier in the week, but it was rejected in the upper chamber. Finance Committee members on both sides of the aisle in the House, however, embraced it, including Democratic delegate Isaac Spanagel.
We're going to give some type of tax relief to the citizens that need it most, not the wealthiest citizens in the state of West Virginia, but the people that are struggling.
The larger focus of the bill, though, is removing some current sales tax exemptions to bring in more revenue. The rate would stay at 6%, but consumers would have to pay the tax on their cell phone bills, gym memberships, and on construction labor up to $40,000. Businesses in the communications field would have to begin paying the tax on their purchases, and the tax would also be applied to primary opinion research.
I'm really delighted with some of the policy changes that are in the bill, but I don't think it addresses the real policy change that we have to confront ourselves with, and that is the budget hole that we've got.
Delegate Larry Rowe is a Democratic member of the committee who Finance Chair Nelson says is right. The governor's office estimates the budget gap for the 2018 fiscal year is some $450 million. Nelson expects a final financial analysis of the bill to be presented to the members Friday, but estimates it will bring in around $100 million for 2018. To protect some revenue, the committee removed Governor Justice's proposed restructuring of the coal severance tax from the bill, which would have given the industry a $50 million tax break in the upcoming fiscal year. But Majority Leader Darrell Coles says he still recognizes there are revenue issues.
It still is, as some of my colleagues have noted, somewhat short of filling the gap, but it could help shield drastic cuts that we might face when we put the budget together.
Senate President Mitch Carmichael says those drastic cuts are why the Senate chose to move forward with a tax reform plan that results in even larger revenue numbers in fiscal year 2018, although the chamber has not asked for a fiscal note detailing those revenues. Carmichael says the Senate budget will hold spending to last year's levels, protecting vital government services from the deep cuts he says the House will have to present. As far as the progress of the House revenue bill, Finance Chair Nelson says the chamber will likely vote on it Friday. Carmichael says the Senate will amend its tax reform plan based on income taxes back into the bill and likely send it to a conference committee, where members of each chamber will negotiate the outcome. Once that bill is done, lawmakers can then begin their work on the actual budget. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
The House of Delegates has approved a bill to protect state workers should the government shut down in the wake of a budget impasse. Delegates voted 82-2 Thursday in favor of Governor Jim Justice's furlough proposal. The bill, however, was amended to limit the power of the governor's office, only permitting furloughs when the governor vetoes a budget or when the legislature is unable to approve a spending plan and forces a government shutdown. The amended bill includes protections for workers as well, allowing them to still accumulate sick and vacation leave, as well as seniority, and protecting their health care benefits. The bill would also require state agencies to name essential personnel who would continue to work during a government shutdown, including state troopers, correctional officers, National Guard members, and state hospital workers. Democratic Delegate Barbara Evans-Fleshour says without the furlough bill, state employees would be laid off in the event of a shutdown.
The thing is, if we don't reach an agreement by July 1st, it's our fault. It is not the fault of our state employees, and they should not be punished in any way.
Senate President Mitch Carmichael has said his chamber will not take up the furlough bill unless it becomes absolutely necessary. Carmichael says the legislature can reach a budget agreement before the June 30 deadline. Trump administration officials recently finished a listening tour of parts of the country hard hit by the opioid epidemic, including the Ohio Valley region. Aaron Payne reports that some working to combat the epidemic are concerned about the approach the administration is taking.
Last October, then-candidate Donald Trump laid out his plan to tackle the opioid epidemic. In this campaign event carried by C-SPAN, he focused on stopping the flow of drugs, issuing harsher trafficking penalties, and supporting addiction treatment.
We'll make sure that they have the top treatment and get better.
President Trump sent his top health and law enforcement officials, Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, to hear from people most affected by the crisis. Part of what those officials heard was concern about proposed health care changes and a possible return to more criminal prosecution of substance use disorders. Matt Boggs, executive director of Recovery Point West Virginia, which operates long-term recovery centers across the state, was among those invited to talk with Secretary Price during his visit to the state.
I was the only person in long-term recovery in the room, so that meant a lot.
Boggs says he appreciates that they are paying attention to the issue, but he worries about the effects of the administration's approach to health care coverage under Medicaid. He hopes the administration learned how important Medicaid expansion from the Affordable Care Act was to those with substance use disorders in West Virginia.
It provides these folks essential health services so that they can treat the underlying issues that they have. Without the Medicaid expansion, it would really hurt our efforts.
Medicaid expansion also helped those with substance use disorders get treatment services. Some projections estimate this coverage would be at risk under the House-passed version of the ACA replacement. Secretary Price disagreed with the premise that individuals will lose health care and says the administration's focus is on improvement.
The goal is to make certain that the health care is the kind of care that individuals across this land need.
Without analysis from the Congressional Budget Office, it is unclear what effect the proposed bill will have on coverage for addiction treatment. While Price focused on treatment during his visit, Attorney General Jeff Sessions focused on prevention and law enforcement. Sessions emphasized prevention programs like the Just Say No program from the 80s, saying, quote, "It's not right to take drugs." Boggs is critical of this old approach, saying while well-intended, the Just Say No program was not effective because it didn't treat addiction as a disease.
If I'm born with diabetes, I don't have the ability to just say no. So if folks can't say no to drugs, then they need to be seeking treatment.
But he is encouraged by the administration's listening tour, a commitment to resources, and the creation of a task force to develop best practices for addressing the epidemic. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. There's a group based in Jefferson County focused not only on improving health and wellness, but also on incorporating the local community and history into that health experience. Liz McCormick has more.
West Virginia is one of the top four states in the nation where the obesity rate makes up more than 35% of the adult population. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And between 2011 and 2015, the obesity rate in both West Virginia adults and high school-aged kids increased by 3%. But here in Jefferson County, there's a group trying to combat those numbers by hosting events focused on running, like this one, held last Saturday.
Then you're going to hit a kind of a dirt gravel trail that takes you right along the Shenandoah River.
That's Dr. Mark Cucuzella. He's a professor of family medicine at West Virginia University, a runner, and the force behind the Freedoms Run series of events. It's a rainy, cold Saturday morning, but still hundreds of people have come out for Cucuzella's spring race, the Harper's Ferry Half Marathon, 5K, and Kids Run. Cucuzella started his running series 8 years ago here in Jefferson County in part to help encourage healthy living and exercise in West Virginians.
Physical activity is just good for your brain, good for your body, does good for everything.
According to the CDC, adults need about 75 minutes of a vigorous aerobic activity per week, like jogging or running, to help maintain a healthy weight. Cucuzella says what we eat also plays a big part in our health.
Really, if we're going to attack obesity, we've got to look at what people are eating and what we're feeding folks.
But there's another theme to Cucuzella's races that he hopes will help get people out and moving, and that's by incorporating the local Civil War history in the courses, and at the same time, help boost tourism in the state.
If you talk to people, they've come from all over the country because this is a special place. There's history on almost every step of this course. This goes through Harpers Ferry National Historical Park, by John Brown's Fort, pretty much touches every area of Harpers Ferry Park and a historic boulevard. So they get to see things from the Civil War era.
Of the 658 registered runners, 68% were from 23 other states and Canada. Some of the racers traveled from far away, but some live closer, like Dubem Akunuli, who lives in Frederick, Maryland. Akunuli ran in the kids' run, which is 1 mile, and he says he loves visiting Harper's Ferry.
It's really cool, and it's really cool about knowing about John Brown and his raid. So it's very interesting here. And it's really nice, like, with the trees and all of the mountains.
Cucuzella says a big part of this race is that any child under 17 years old can run for free.
Running is a sport that's accessible to the entire world in developed and developing countries. There should be no barriers to letting a kid line up and run. Some of the best runners in the world have been raised, you know, with countries where the gross domestic product would be less than our entire state of West Virginia. Running is the way out for a lot of kids.
Yeah, we got another runner. Woo! All right.
Even though only a third of Saturday's racers were West Virginia residents, Dr. Mark Cucuzella hopes as his race series enters its 9th year, it will spark even more community involvement and continue to promote health in the state. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Liz McCormick in Harpers Ferry.
One of the best breakout Americana acts out of the Keystone State, the Pennsylvania trio, the Stray Birds, returned to the mountain stage. Here is the Stray Birds with Radio on this mountain stage song of the week.
Missing pages, forgotten ages, the wise men tried to write the history of this town. Generations of destinations tied, rearranging footprints on the ground. For life is a radio.
Station music.
That was the Stray Birds with Radio. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org.